Welcome to the Punk Rocket Show, episode 111. If it's the first time you're listening, welcome in the crowd. My name is Émilie Flamondon. I live in Quebec City in Canada. I'm Québécoise and I have the pleasure to be your host. Today we'll talk about the Punk Rock Museum. And for the occasion, you'll hear two interviews today about two exhibitions. The first one is with Shana Kenny, and we talked about her project, Reflection. The second one is with Emily Nelson of Punk Rock and Paintbrushes. I also make two recommendations for you today for the bands Question Mark from Netherlands and Clover's Curfew from New York. Let's go, the show is starting now. Hey Punk Rock human, if you like merch as much as I do, I strongly recommend you the website epicmerchstore.com. They have t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, hats, long sleeves and kids merch for more than 200 punk rock, ska, hardcore and metal bands from all around the planet. So if you like bands like Good Riddance, The Dreadnoughts, Friends of Rome, After the Fall, Diesel, Boy, Crank, Straight Line, Polly, Randy and many more, oh they also have a Tony Slide Tribute merch. They support smaller and bigger bands from all around the world. Plus, they ship worldwide and you can have a flat rate shipping cost. Get your merch at epicmerchstore.com. Hello, I hope you're doing great today. I'm very tired because I just turned 40 years old and so I had a birthday party last night and it was super fun, but I kind of abused the sparkling wine and I kind of had a little lack of sleep, but it was worth it for sure. It was super fun. I was with my best friends, my boyfriend, my family, my bandmate Simon yesterday, and we played karaoke. And yeah, we made a potluck. It was super great. So yeah, 40 years old.
Look at her. She's old. She's too old.
That's a little fucked up. I just can't believe this because I still feel like I'm 24. I know it's cliche to say that, but it's true. I had a little crisis a few months ago because I was like, I'm not a normal adult. I don't have kids, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I think I was just brainwashed by what society wants me to do as a woman. And overall, I'm very happy about my own life. Because I was thinking about it and I think that my priorities always have been and still are learning about a million different topics. I want to connect with people for real. I want to share my passion for music and I really want to become a better human every day. So all those things are ageless and I don't care about doing it at any age, so I think I'll be okay in my 40s. As long as I keep doing what makes me happy forever.
Forever. Forever. Forever. Forever.
Yeah, I should write a book, huh? How to be happy in your 40s. Well, punk rock makes me very happy and there are some news I wanted to talk to you about before diving into the interviews for today and the repunkmendations.
And now, it's time for Punk Rock News with Émilie Flamondon.
First news made me super happy. I don't know if you know the band Sweat. They play hardcore music. They're from California, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but from what I remember, they're from the US for sure. So they announced that they will be releasing a new album. It's going to be called Love Child, and it's going to be available on March 15. They just released a really good new song. It's called Give Me Action. So good. You're going to like it for sure. The band TSOL released a new song. It's called Swimming. We might have a new album soon. Who knows? Speaking of new album, I don't know if you saw this on the social medias, but Bad Cop are recording new music currently. They are in the studio. They posted some stuff in their stories on their Instagram. So I'm looking forward to some new material from them, of course. You also need to check the new song Disruption from the band Comeback Kid, hardcore punk from Canada. And we will be able to hear their new EP, Trouble. It's going to be out also on March 15. That's a date we have to remember. So many great things are going to be released that day. And I don't know if we could say like the EP, Trouble I Love. Do you get it? It's one of my favorite songs.
What?
I love the two new songs from the band Fire Sale. They're called The Albatross and also I Remember Damage. If you don't know Fire Sale, they have members of No Use for a Name Face to Face because it's Matt Riddle on the bass. Speaking of bass, in the song The Albatross, you can hear his very, very unique bass right at the beginning. Hell yeah. In the band, you also have Chris from The Arteries. You have Pedro from Anne Barretta and The Iron Roses. You have Matt Morris and Brad Edwards. All legends. And, ooh, I'm excited because for the first time of my life, I could have the chance to see Bikini Kill live because they're going to play in Montreal on September 4th. They're doing a North American tour in August, September, so check if they are coming close to your city. I also have some news about our sponsors. So you have new merch from The Real Mackenzies on epicmerchstore.com. They're great. You have like t-shirts, mugs, and hats. And about Iodine Recordings, they announced Volume 3 of their vinyl subscription service. It's limited to only 50 spaces. And so if you subscribe, you receive all 14 new releases at a discount. And you also have free shipping. And also you can pre-order two new releases from Iodine right now. No Man, Glitter and Spit, the LP. And also Unsufferable, self-titled debut 7-inch. The first Repunkmendation for today is for the band Question Mark from Netherlands. They are playing great skate punk and they are influenced by No Use for a Name, Good Riddance, Avail, etc. It's so good. I really like their recent album Desolation. It's been released last month. And we're gonna listen to their song Mind Your Own Mess right now. I totally love it. Yeah! it's time to listen to the two interviews I made with Shanna and Emily about the Punk Rock Museum. So it's two different interviews talking about their exhibitions. They both are incredible women with amazing background in the punk scene. I hope you'll have fun to discover their projects if you don't know them already. Shanna is talking about her project Reflection, and Emily talks about punk rock and paintbrushes. And going to the Punk Rock Museum is definitely on my punk rock bucket list that I want to do in my 40s. Probably more than once. So if you want to know more about Emily and Shanna, just check the show notes. You see all the links. This episode of the Punk Rocket Show is brought to you by the label Iodine Recordings. Their catalog includes great punk, pop punk, and hardcore bands like Stretch Armstrong, The Iron Roses, Rebuilder, Dead Bars, and Her Head's on Fire, and many, many more. It's not complicated. All the bands on Iodine Recordings are a great fit on this podcast, and the label is run by great humans with good values. Oh, and if you're a vinyl lover like I am, check their selection of gorgeous colored LPs. Thank you so much, Iodine, for supporting this podcast. Check the show notes or visit iodinerecords.com and enjoy this episode. Hi, Shanna. Hello, hello.
Hi. Hey.
Sorry, I had trouble with my link at first. Whoops.
Oh, no problem. I just wrote you on Instagram. Sometimes it happens. So I could have sent it to you again. And
okay.
You're not late.
Okay. I'm a little late. I'm usually right on time.
I've seen way worse.
Okay. Thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I have been following your feed. You do so many interesting interviews. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And you're part of it. I think it's super fun that I have you on the show. I'm going to have also Emily Nielsen in an hour for her exhibit. So
you're going to have who? Oh,
Emily Nielsen from Punk Rock and Paintbrushes.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So I think you're
Do you use the video or is it just audio?
It's just for my Patreon. So for 20 people, the rest is only audio.
My husband is packing our suitcase in the background. So sorry.
But if you're not comfortable, I can.
It's
skip
fine.
It.
Okay. We're in a hotel room in Las Vegas.
So you arrived at the museum. You're there.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, so I hope I could go there eventually, for sure.
Yeah, so where are you?
I'm in Quebec City in Canada. I'm French-Canadian.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Where are you from exactly? Washington?
I'm originally from Washington, D.C., which is part of the reason I'm in this exhibit. But and I lived in L.A. for over 20 years, but I recently moved to North Carolina, the American South, just because my husband and I, both of our moms are there, and it's time to move back home.
Yeah, why not? And so the exhibition opened yesterday. How was that?
Yeah. Oh, it was super fun. I had some friends who are locals who live here in Las Vegas who came out and met a bunch of new friends who just came to see the exhibit. And Jeffrey Everett, who I'm exhibiting with, he had a lot of his band posters that he's done on the wall. And he and Lisa Johnson, the curator from the museum, put together a really nice wall for me of some of my old stuff, my zines and fan letters that I wrote to Ian MacKay when I was 15 and 16 years old, and flyers for shows that I booked in the 80s. And it was just really special and fun to spend the evening.
Were you nervous? Because musicians are nervous before big shows, but is it the same kind of nervosity?
Not really. I mean, I didn't really have to do anything. I'm an author, so I do public readings a lot. Sometimes I'm nervous with those because I'm reading something really personal and taking questions from the audience. And, you know, you're kind of bearing your soul to a crowd that you don't know. But last night it was more of a celebration, and I knew some of the people, and I was just happy and honored to be there. So I was just having fun. I wasn't performing.
No, exactly. That's why I'm asking, is it the same kind of stress or like febrility? Febrility? Is that an English word?
What was the word?
Febrility. Febrility. Febrile. No, I think it's. I just made up a new word. That's okay.
Well, what's the French word?
Febrilité. Like you're kind of. It's like a happy nervosity, happy stress.
Oh, yeah. My friend has a kid who she invented the word nervous-sighted. Oh. When she's like nervous and excited. And I think that's so cute.
Exactly.
Maybe that's the equivalent.
Yeah, let's make words together. It's fun. It's creative. Yes. So talk to me a little more about your personal background, because you're an author, but like you have a huge, like you were super involved in the scene in the 80s. So I want to know more about that. And I'm sure the listener wants to
know too. Yeah, I grew up in a small town in Southern Maryland, which is just outside of Washington, D.C., just mm-hmm. south of Washington, D.C. And it was kind of a rural place, a lot of farms and Amish people and a Navy base, not much of a punk scene, but I did have some friends who liked to skate and liked to listen to punk music in the mid 80s. And we would drive up to shows in DC and Baltimore and just really wanted to be part of this punk thing that was happening all around us. So we kind of banded together and made our own little scene. We built skate ramps together and tried to start bands together. I wasn't so great at playing bass, so I quickly switched over to making my own fanzine, which we called zines back then. And it was a way for all of us to work on something together. So my friends would put their poetry and their comics in there, and I'd write record reviews. And it gave me an excuse to talk to bands because I would want to interview them for my zine. So it ended up just being this great communication tool for me when I went to shows in DC. And then there were ads in the back of Maximum Rock and Roll where a lot of zinesters would advertise that they would trade zines with other zinesters. So I started having pen pals all over the world and just meeting people in that way. And then I eventually moved up to Washington, DC when I was 18, and a friend and I started booking all ages matinee shows at a little rundown nightclub on the weekends, and bringing bands from New York and eventually Boston and all over the country. It felt like an extension of the zine. It was just a way to like expand our community.
So great, because you didn't have social medias back in the days for that. So you had to work really hard to make contacts with bands and researching for an interview. I wonder. Like, for me, it's so easy. I mean, it's easy, but also we have sometimes too many informations. But back in the days, I can't imagine. Because when I started doing radio 20 years ago, it was harder, but still.
A lot of it was done through the mail, you know. We'd put our address in the back of a Maximum Rock and Roll, and someone would send us a tape of their band, their demo, and then we would call them and try to figure out dates that worked for them on their tours and line them up with bigger bands so that hopefully we could draw enough people to pay for the club. It was just, it was a little laborious. But once the word got out, bands all talked to each other and we got a good reputation and people started calling us. More bands than we could actually book would call us. And this is the days before managers and contracts. We never signed a contract. We never really made a guarantee for anyone. We just said, we'll give you 50% of whatever we make at the door. So it was all very
DIY.
DIY, absolutely. But we learned from the best. You know, there was a generation of punk before us, Minor Threat, The Faith, and Void, and all of those people really showed us how to do it. We were kind of the next generation that came along.
Wow, I think it's so great. And you're still in the scene and you see the evolution since then. It's great. And now you're part of the Punk Rock Museum. So I saw that you wrote a lot of books. And but still, for me, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a ton of books. I added all of them on my list.
Thank you.
That's great. You wrote I Was a Teenage Dominatrix. They're all history. Live at the Safari Club, which is a famous venue.
So that's the venue that I booked in the late 80s. Yeah. And then there were a series of promoters mm-hmm. that continued to book it after I left. And it was open for about 10 years. And my husband and I put a book together, an oral history of the club. So we interviewed a lot of people who played there or went there and just had fun, or people who worked there, and gathered photos from our community and flyers. Mm. And we put it together in this little... It's like a 10 by 10. We wanted it to be like a 10-inch record, hardcover book, and put it out as sort of a yearbook kind of thing for our community.
Oh, I love that.
And we found a publisher in Los Angeles called Rare Bird Lit, and they put it out. So we're really... That we worked on it for like 6 years.
Oh, is it,
it was really a labor of love.
Is it the same editor of the oral history of Leftover Crack? Do you know? I'll check.
Oh, I think is it the same publisher, you mean?
I think it might, because
I don't know.
I'm sure I read some books from them. Anyway, good.
Yeah, I'm a bird.
So, and tell me a little more about the exhibition. So you arrived yesterday, everything was ready, but
fortunately, Jeffrey, the poster artist, he also designed the new cover for the third edition of my memoir. Mm. That's how we met. And he's a little younger than I am. So he moved to DC later and he loves all the DC stuff just like mm-hmm. I do. So it was a good collaboration, but he arrived earlier in the week and installed all of the stuff on the wall and the display case of some of my old things. And in the display case, there's handwritten questions I had for Henry Rollins when I interviewed him when he was doing a benefit for the West Memphis 3, and some of my old cassette tapes of interviews with people like Ian and Henry and Tommy Ramone and Jane Weedlin of the Go-Go's. And then there's an interview with Ian in a magazine that I wrote for called Swindle, and some like photo, like contact sheets of my old photos, a lot of just ephemera stuff that was probably never meant to last this long, but I've held on to it for these years. Flyers and my zines framed on the wall, which was pretty funny to see.
So you kept
something
all
that you did when you're 16. You know,
you kept all of this, like your written questions. That's so
my handwritten questions.
How could you know that you would want to keep that in the future?
Well, I keep a lot, I guess because I'm a writer, I've always kept a lot of spiral notebooks and journals. Mm-hmm. So it's all kind of a mishmash of stuff. If you look in the same notebook, you can't tell. It's open to the questions page in the display case. But if you flip the pages, it's my Spanish homework from college. And then if you flip the page again, it's Keith Morris of the Circle Jerks phone number, because I was about to interview him too. And you flip a few more and it's like a grocery list. So, I mean, I guess because I'm a writer, I just write everything down, and I've always kept those journals.
That's so precious. This is my favorite, the favorite thing you mentioned, like the written questions, because I relate to that. I think I'm going to keep my sheets.
Don't you do that? Yeah, all your questions.
yeah.
Notes on people and research.
Posted a picture because, you know, the trend on Instagram to post a picture when you're 21 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So I posted a picture of me and Tony Sly, like back in the days when I was 21. It was one of my first interviews.
Oh, so long ago. I mean, what are you, 25?
I'm going to be 40 in 5 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So you look young.
Yeah, I know, but I still feel it. Like I have chronic acid reflux. But I wish I could keep my Tony Sly written questions. I would cry reading this, and also it was probably very shallow questions.
Well, yeah, one of the things on the wall in this exhibit is a fan letter that I wrote to Ian MacKay, and I think I was 15 at the time, and he had just started the band Embrace.
Whoa.
And it's just funny to get a window into my 15-year-old mind at the time. You know, I was
amazing.
Just discovering vegetarianism and straight edge, and I was thanking him for his positive influence. Aww. And then I included $2.50 for a salad days 7-inch. And I must have included $3 because I wrote keep the change with a smiley face.
Here's some tip for your tour. Put it in your tip jar.
Keep those big 50 cents.
At the merch table, put it in it.
But it is funny to look back and just see how, you know, wide-eyed and naive I was. But the important part of the story is that he wrote me back.
No way.
And was very encouraging about me starting a zine. He was open to me interviewing him for my early zines.
Wow.
And we developed a friendship from there. So that really taught me what punk rock's all about. There are no rock stars.
Yeah.
You know, everyone felt equal and accessible, and like we could all contribute to the scene in some way. I mean, he could have looked down on me like, who's this stupid little girl, you know, from the middle of nowhere. But he took the time to write me back, which I think a lot of punk musicians did back in the day, and maybe they still do. And that is really what taught me community.
Yeah. And yeah, but he was embracing the punk rock values. Like, so I'm surprised, but not surprised at the same time. But like you said, we never know. Could have been a little condescending, but nope. You know what?
Yeah.
The Backstreet Boys never answered to my letters.
See? It's totally different.
I wish I could be fan of, like, I don't know, punk rock before that.
Right. It taught me good values, and I hope carry that integrity with me.
Mm. Did you share the answer he sent you on the exhibition?
No, I felt like that was too private. It's not that he said anything so earth-shattering, but I felt like he didn't write those letters back to me to be public.
You know, yeah.
Those are personal. So those will stay in my personal collection, but it's okay to make fun of myself and my silverhand letter.
Well, but I understand that. It's something you have to think about when you do an exhibition.
How much you share how much you don't, you know. Yeah.
But I bet you share a lot already from what you said. And I think it's great because when we think of a museum, we think about visual art or music. But it's fun that they involve like authors and like flyers, designers, and
different kinds of expression. And I mean, I find that as a writer, it's hard to make what I do visual, even in this day of social media. You know, a lot of what I do probably looks very boring. I'm sitting there in the front of a computer all day or staring into space, coming up with sentences and moving words around. But that's really hard to make visual for people. So it was kind of fun to have the zines because they kind of represent where I started this whole writing thing. And then some of the magazine articles, I mean, it led to me becoming a journalist and then from there an essayist and an author and a teacher. So there is kind of a trajectory there.
Yeah. I think it's so great. I have to go, definitely. I need to go there.
Yes, I hope you can. There's so many cool, I mean, we're just one little corner of it and we'll be up for 6 weeks. But there's so many cool things in the museum. You can't even see it all in one day. My jaw was on the floor yesterday looking at like signed Ramones photos and Joe Strummer's jacket and Harley Flanagan's photos from back in the day and all this stuff. And they have it organized by region. So that was really interesting too. There's just so much rich history there.
I think it also made to be very interactive overall.
Yeah.
And also, so you can go once a year and you will never see the same thing so many times.
Yeah, you'll still see something new. Next to our exhibit is another exhibit called Black Punk Now, and it was done by my friend James Spooner, who did a documentary called Afropunk, and he has a new book out called Black Punk Now, and that's, I'm not sure how long that is up, but that's side by side with our exhibit, and I'm sure it's going to be one of those rotating things, and it was exciting to see.
Took a note. So many things I want
to
read.
Interview him.
Definitely. I want to read your books. I want to check for that. That's great. So you said it will be available for 6 weeks.
And yes.
Do you think you could export it or do it somewhere else? And I don't know.
Oh, make it traveling? Yeah, I don't know. Jeffrey and I have talked. Jeffrey lives in D.C. and I'm on the East Coast as well. And we did a book event together in Baltimore recently. So we've talked about maybe reimagining this for a gallery in D.C. that, because that's kind of where it belongs. So maybe we could do a celebration in DC about the release of his book and the re-release of my book with his cover, and maybe some of this ephemera on the wall. I don't know. I hadn't really given it much thought before this year, honestly. It's just stuff that I've dragged around with me from place to place in boxes for years. But it's kind of nice to see it organized and nicely displayed and other people appreciating it.
So definitely we could find a lot of treasures in those boxes you're talking about. You carry carrying your treasures with you.
Yeah.
So do you have, I saw you made a playlist for the opening.
Yeah, that was fun. It's kind of chronological. I started with Embrace because that's when I first wrote to Ian when he was starting Embrace, and kind of moved through the mid to late 80s. All of the music that I loved or grew up seeing, bands like Soulside and Marginal Man, Fugazi, of course.
Oh, yeah, I was at all the
early shows.
You're a big fan of Fugazi. I have a lot of listeners who are a huge fan of Fugazi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel so lucky to have grown up seeing them. And I think there was something really special about experiencing punk rock in the nation's capital. I mean, we had protests right in front of the White House, percussion protests, like banging drums in front of the, you can really speak truth to power there, you know? And a lot of my earliest shows that I went to were benefits for PETA or Amnesty International or raising money for people in Nicaragua, or they were, there was just a great political awareness that, you know, maybe you saw like in the Bay Area, in San Francisco, but I think DC was just really uniquely politically aware.
That's very interesting. Yeah, California is always like, they always have liberal values, I think, but I think it might, the culture might be still different.
Definitely. Yeah. I don't think DC was a very like fashion or drug oriented scene. Not saying people didn't party, but I think it was just, it was more about protest.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, like the vibe was different. Now that I've lived in New York and I've lived in LA and have friends in those scenes, and they all have wonderful things to offer too. It's just, this is my opinion on how I think it's different.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And I think you're going to do a workshop today.
Yeah, we're going to be making zines. I'm so excited that I get to pass my love for paper products and self-expression.
I think we need to get back to those things.
Yeah, it's really fun. There's something really special about holding something in your hand, especially in this day of digital everything. And not that I don't like to waste paper, because I realize it comes from trees, but I use recycled paper too. But I'm using old 80s flyers from the Safari Club. We pre-printed a bunch really tiny on a sheet of 8.5 by 11 paper, and I'm going to show kids how to cut and fold it so that it's a 16-page zine in the end. Amazing.
I want to see videos of that.
I'll mail you one.
I would be very happy. Wow, I would be so happy. And do you have any other projects that you're working on these days that you can talk?
Yeah, I'm working on a book about writing. It's called No Rules for Writing. So it's kind of informed by punk rock ethos, but it's also infused with anything I've learned over the years of teaching and writing and publishing.
Hopefully
to help up-and-coming writers find their voice or free their, you know, befriend their inner critic.
Oh, so. I love that you pass your knowledge like this, whether it's from the exhibition or the books about the book about writing. It's great. It's a good legacy.
It's time.
It's a good legacy you're giving us. It's fun.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm just at that age. Legacy.
Thank you so much. I think we should do a part two eventually, because I would love to dig more about your books and like your past.
Sure, anytime.
I wanted to focus more about the museum today, but definitely I would love to know more about you. That's great. Thank you so much for everything you do for the scene. Have a great day. Have a great workshop.
Thank you for having me on, Punk Rockette.
Oh, that's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Nice meeting you.
Have a great day. Bye. Hi to your husband and all the people there at the museum.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Boop.
How's it going?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. I'm so sorry I had to do this in my, I'm in my car right now. I was traveling, so.
Yeah, no problem. Actually, the sound is really good.
Okay. That's, oh, good.
That's perfect. I like that. So thank you so much for being my guest today. I'm excited to know more about you and your project and the museum. It's going to be very great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Where are you right now on this crazy planet?
I'm in Los Angeles, but I live in Carlsbad, which is like San Diego. So I'm actually going to an art show this evening. So I'm heading north.
Oh, okay, cool. So you're in California. So it's not too far from the museum, but still.
It's usually like 4 to 5 hour drive to Vegas, so it's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Oh, that's great. And okay, so I have so many questions. Maybe we'll have to do a part two eventually. I can know already. But tell me about your background with art and punk rock, because I think it's so interesting.
I used to work in music. I was like a production coordinator, so I would tour a lot. And when I did start doing that more as a job, it was, funnily enough, it was more with like pop bands and kind of like large scaled acts. But, you know, my heart has always been in punk rock. And I worked on like the Vans Warped Tour for 25 years ago.
Oh, so you probably know Lisa Brownlee.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of my relationships and friendships I have through like punk rock and paintbrushes started, you know, on Warped Tour. That's what I originally was, met a lot of folks on. And then I would do like production coordinator on pop the tours and stuff. But I always, you know, my punk rock was my love and my oxygen and everything. And so when we started Punk Rock and Paintbrushes, it was, golly, almost 10 years ago. And it was not really like a grandiose plan. It was just kind of like almost a happy accident. We had a few artists that I worked with that were also, you know, professional musicians who were also artists. We had like, Matt Skiba.
Yeah.
Backline Trio, Warren Fitzgerald from the Vandals. Hunter Bergen from AFI, and then this our friend Danny Green, which is a friend of Mike's, actually how I met Fat Mike. Met Danny, and that was it. And so we would travel and do these art shows, and then I kind of started realizing that more professional musicians were artists, so we kind of grew into more artists we were working with, and then on and on and on, and now it is kind of what it is. So
yeah, and it's really fun to make to get all these people together and mix punk rock and art. I only knew about like Jesse Michaels doing art, and I didn't realize that so many other punk rockers were into that. And I think it's so fun that you put all this together, because at the end of the day, it's all art. Like punk rock music is art, so it's great.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing is, you know, it sounds like a very like niche market, but it's not, because it goes hand in hand. You know, creative people are creative people. So whether they're making music or whether they're making, you know, art, it makes sense. And so, and it was nice because, you know, like actually Jesse, we've been working with, but, you know, I've been working with like Tim Armstrong for years, and Jesse kind of like had to, you know, massage into like trying to work together, because I think originally, like I didn't know him. I met him through Tim. And so I think it was one of those things where he kind of thought, okay, well, Tim's doing this, so, okay, maybe I'll do it. And so it kind of came together. And I think that's the cool thing with it is their peers are showing their art. And so they're feeling more confident to show their art and to put their art out there. It's not just like a solo show for one person, you know, it's more of a group show so they can support each other.
Oh, that's so cool. And what kind of art Tim is doing? Like, how did you find out about his stuff? And
he's been, you know, painting for so much of his life, for years and years. He still paints so much. He does a painting a day, every single day.
Whoa, I didn't even know that. That's crazy. I can't believe I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, he has a little notebook. So every year he has like a page. And so each painting, or each day, he creates a painting. And so I knew that he had, you know, created art. He's had a few solo shows. And, you know, he does things or he creates art from oil or acrylic, or he adds pages of books on the back, or I saw him and he would use sandpaper on canvas. I mean, just all kinds of very Tim things. But he did a Rancid had a tour in 2018, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to do an art show, a traveling art show on the tour. It was like a festival tour. It was like Rancid, Pennywise, and some other bands. So because it was Rancid was the headliner, I thought, yeah, sure, let's do that. And so that's when I first started working with Tim's art, and then, you know, we, and then so forth. So that's how I kind of learned that he had, you know, he was doing all his art.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so bad with painting, and I'm good with singing, but I'm so bad with visual art, drawing. It's like, I'm so ashamed of that. So I always had the feeling that I couldn't understand art or appreciate it because I'm so bad, but it's not true. I can still be emotional looking at a paint, or, you know, but I think it took me such a long time to realize that.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. You know, people ask, you know, what kind of art do you represent, or what kind of art do you work with? It's like, everyone's so, so different, you know, and that's the cool thing. And sometimes you'll have artists say like Tim, where you look at, you know, Tim, and then and his music he creates, and then the art he creates, and you kind of go, okay, this is kind of hand in hand with who he is, or Warren Fitzgerald, and then the art he creates, it makes sense. But we work with like Jay Weinberg. He was in Slipknot for years. And so you look at like the music of Slipknot, and then you look at Jay's art, and it's like completely different. Oh. It's a different type of art. And, you know, he said that to me. He goes, you know, playing, say, metal music for a living.
Very brutal. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's getting this part of him out, but then he has these other creative parts, and so then he gets it out through his painting. So it's kind of, that makes sense that the music he creates is so different than the art he creates. But then there's some artists that, you know, it is kind of around the same style.
I definitely need to check that as well. Wow. So, and now you're going to have an exhibit at the Punk Rock Museum. How did you put all of this together for the exhibition, for the museum?
Well, you know, they have their chapel in the museum, and there's like two walls in there that are open. And so I think they kind of decided to adorn the walls, which makes sense. So one of our artists I work with, Mark DeSalvo, he had an art show in there, and I think they kind of liked how, you know, it looked and everything. And I don't think it's like, they're not an art gallery or art exhibit. You know, it's a museum. They thought, oh, well, why have to change the exhibit around and to have different artists up and stuff. And so we use our art for all of our art shows, you know, which are constant. But right now we have a little bit of a lull given it's winter time and everything. We just aren't doing a show. I think our first show is the first week of April. So we have time. So they said, oh, you want to put the art up for a couple months? I was like, sure, that makes sense. And then Vinny, he's a partner there, and he owns a tattoo shop that's also right at the gallery. And I've worked with him. We did an art show at his tattoo shop in Gainesville, Florida last year.
Vinny from Less Than Jake?
Yeah. So I thought, okay, sure, it makes sense and everything. And then the exhibit will end the weekend of their anniversary. So that'll be fun. I'll be out there for that. And then it'll be a nice little celebration and everything.
Ah, that's cool. I love also the paint for the song Survive by Rise Again that you made with Tim. What's the story behind it? I love it. It's like the lyrics of the song. Such a great song, by the way.
Yeah. That painting, actually, I went into remission from cancer in 2007, and Tim is an old friend, and so I did the green ribbon for lymphoma is what I had, and then Tim wrote the lyrics to Survive, or painted the lyrics to Survive, and so it was just kind of a
gift, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, the sound got bad. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Ah, good. All right. So I'm sorry, it cut when you were talking about this beautiful collab with Tim. So you were saying you survived cancer, lymphoma. So that's why you have the ribbon and you were there. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So I did the green ribbon for lymphoma, and then Tim did the lyrics to Survive. And it was just a gift kind of thing. And aww. And then we said, well, that's kind of cool. And people said, oh, you should auction that. And I was like, well, it's my painting.
Yeah.
But we did that. I started a organization, an event called Rock Against Cancer. And mm-hmm. so what we did is people who have been affected went to cancer, thing, they would paint the ribbon. And then I would link them up with a band, and the band would paint the lyrics mm. on top of the ribbon. And that, and then we would auction that off.
Ah, and that's cool.
That's actually when we had an event, and Matt Skiba had just joined Blink.
Oh, yeah.
A piece. And then that's what we can do. You know, there's a lot of musicians out there that are also artists. So, but yeah, we've worked with some very interesting, because it's not mm-hmm. difficult for them to, you know, write or to paint the lyrics. It's not asking a ton of them to do. It yeah. takes a few minutes. So it worked really well.
And it's so emotional. And when I say that, it's hard like for me to connect with heart, because I feel like I'm too bad. But this is a good way for me to, like, you transform lyrics, which I relate to a lot, in heart. So you have so many possibilities. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, for sure. And yeah, I mean, that's the idea. And we did a print release of Survive like in 2018 or 2019. We just had a very few of them, and they, you know, they sold out right away. But we give all the proceeds of that to different like cancer organizations, because, you know, for Tim and I, that we didn't ever really want to make money. We were just wanting to just something fun we did. So, but we do have like a Giclée like canvas that we show at the exhibits, because I don't travel with the original, and I most of the time end up giving them away, because, you know, when I'm at the exhibit and I see someone looking at that piece, there's like obviously something that attracts them.
Yeah.
So I'll usually try to have a conversation. And like the last time we had it, we were at that When We Were Young festival in Vegas. And I met a woman, she was staring at it, and she was, she had been battling cancer for 5 years, and she was kind of on the, you know, not, she didn't have a lot of time left. And it was so cool, because it was just a canvas print, but I was able to gift her that. And it's just, it's been really nice, you know, with Tim and I, this silly painting we did, and it's neither of us are artists like at all, as you can probably see through that. But we're able to like, share that and share this Survive song to people like this woman I met. I mean, I give them away, you know, across the world, just because we want people to have the message. So,
this is so punk. Yeah. Like it's so good. I love that. So you definitely can have all kind of, I don't know, all kind of talents, all kind of interest, and all kind of styles. It's great. And I love that you're working with so many punk rockers, like even with Pennywise, like you said, Matt Skiba. So it's fun that everyone could connect through heart. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, we have a lot of different, I'll curate the exhibits according to like where we're at, if it's a gallery show or a festival. It really, you know, depends. But then when we have gallery shows in different cities, we all travel together. And it's like, I remember one of the first times we did it, I asked the, you know, the artist was like, do you guys all, you know, want to do a hotel or do you want to do an Airbnb? I think we're in Chicago. And one of them said, he's like, we've been traveling with our bands for 30, 40 years. He's like, that's the last thing we want to do is like hang out together. And so we'll usually get like a big, like 8 bedroom Airbnb and just all of us stay, because it's not their bread and butter, it's not their band, it's just like extra, like it's a passion of theirs, and it's different, and they get to travel with like friends of theirs. You know, you look at say Jim or Warren or Matt, and it's like they've known each other for years, but now this is their way to spend time together in a different creative way.
Yeah, exactly. That's fun, because they're used to hang out backstage at shows, but now they can connect in a total other way, but still, like, it's still still who they are.
Yeah, and it's fun. Yeah, we have fun. I mean, I've had some adventures in the last 10 years with everyone.
Do you have an artist you wish you could work with, but it didn't happen yet for I don't know what reason, but is there someone you really want to work with?
I mean, I'm sure there is. Okay, let's, well, who's an actor, actually, who I think is just an amazing, sounds like an amazing person, is Jim Carrey is a great artist. He was really interesting because he went off grid and started doing a lot of paintings, and he just seems like a very, very, you know, intriguing human that I thought would be really cool to kind of, you know, do some work with him. But had the opportunity to work with, you know, everyone that's kind of been of interest. I'm sure there's, if I think about it more, there's definitely artists out there that of course I just love to work with. But as far as like musician wise, I'm sure there's someone I wish I, you know.
Well, you can still think about it. You write me a DM and I'll say it on the episode. No problem. But
my favorite is Mark Mothersbaugh. He's from Devo. And we've done some work with him, and he's just like so incredible and so talented in everything he does. And I remember one of the first times I was in his office, and it was just like, you're just looking around at the walls and the music he's made and the art he's made, and it just like blows you away. And it's like, he just has done this. He's just created what he's wanted to create and been successful with it. It's so rad. It's so inspiring to just stick to what you want to do. Don't go with what people want. Do what you want. And if people want to jump on board, then cool. That's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Mark is, it's cool. It's inspiring. And I tell them that. I don't care if I work for them or not. You know, I like to make sure they know that it inspires me. It makes me want to do, you know, better show, create better shows, and, you know, just do a better job at what I do. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah. And so you said that the exhibition at the museum is in the chapel, so people can like get married while looking at your work.
Yeah. Maybe like Warren's, like one of his art pieces can be next to them or something. But yeah, I guess that's it, right? That people can get married.
Yeah, it's
true. You know what's really funny now that I'm thinking of it? Oh, that's funny. Is I have a good friend that he's renewing his vows there.
Wow.
And I guess I guess our art will be on the walls during that. That's, I don't know. That might be it's not my fault anything that happens after that.
But it's true. When they first started to talk about the museum, they mentioned it. Like, you can actually get married there.
Yeah.
Or renew your vow. Why not?
Yeah. So, they're doing so I guess you'll have a bunch of wacky, interesting art around you if you decide to get married there before April 2nd. So,
the show's going to start, the exhibition's going to start in a few days.
February 10th. It's very relaxed, I think. I don't think there's a big, like, opening. It's just it opens and then it just stays open till the weekend of the closing, which is April 2nd. So we'll be like a bunch of artists, I think, will be there that weekend. Like, the Vandals are actually playing that weekend.
Oh, wow.
So obviously, yeah.
That's so cool. And you'll go there.
Yeah, I got to go there in a few days to install it, but I'll just probably go up and then be back. So just install it, and then I'll be back on the closing. So
you go there. You used to go to festivals. You're very visible there. You do you're already, I could say, touring with your project. So, but what's different or organizing this exhibition compared to a festival? Do you have a special concept or like?
Oh yeah, this one will be different. Like, this one we have a collection of artists, and each artist only has like a few pieces, where usually we block out the, like, the walls. So we build our festival exhibit. So that's a whole thing with these walls. So there's already existing walls, which is a huge relief and great for me because of way less work. And then actually works at the museum is gonna, he has a really strong art background, which is awesome because that's rare to come around. So him and I are going to install it together, but we only have like a few pieces. Like, Jason Cruz has his art and he only has like two original, where normally he'll have 10 originals, or, you know, could just because there's just a 44 foot space we're having. So it's just a smaller exhibit, but it's, you know, it's more for them to enjoy. So people to enjoy. So.
Good. And what would be next for you after the exhibit? What, do you have any other projects or?
Yep. So we have a year-long project that's to be announced.
Okay, I'll stay tuned.
Hopefully we'll announce it very soon. We're going to be on the road with some people, I guess. That'll be fun. And that's right after the museum. And then we'll have a few festivals. In May, we're doing another tour with a big, pretty popular band in the summer. And so, yeah, I mean, we're not doing a ton of traveling. The last 2 years I've been on the road a lot.
Yeah.
And I have a great team that works with me. I'm going to have a lot of those girls in my team go out on the road instead of me myself, which is great. But yeah, so this year will be good, but less. You know, I just want to work smarter, not harder, right? So that's my idea.
Well, I'll make sure I'll share the information once it's announced on the podcast. Is there any chance I could see you in Quebec, in Canada? We have pretty good festivals here. We have amazing festivals.
June 1 on the water in the boat, right?
Yeah, in Montebello.
Maybe. I did a festival there and we had to take a boat to the dressing
room. Okay. So it's a Montebello Rock Fest. I've never been there.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty far away from my place. But we have other great festivals. But yeah, I'm not surprised you were there back in the days. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Quebec. I'm half Canadian. So my mother's from Ontario. So yeah, I'm sure we very may well be in Montreal, not Quebec, but Montreal. So hopefully then.
Oh, so Montreal is 2.5 hours from where I live. So it's pretty manageable. I go to a lot of festivals in Montreal. So yeah, that's great.
I've been to Quebec a bunch, but not in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I would be happy to meet you and see all the great works you're doing with punk rock and paintbrushes. Good. Hey, have fun at the museum. We'll stay in touch. And anything you want me to share with the listeners, just write me and I'll be happy to share because I think it's such a great project. It's something I really want to dig more. Really good. Have a great day.
We'll keep you updated.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, have a great day, Emily. Have a nice road. Be careful. Bye. Thank you. Repugnation. The second repugnation for today is for the band Clover's Curfew. They're based in New York. They are playing great blend of punk, rock, folk, even blues. So let's listen to their song Coco that we can find on their latest album Sail Away, released last September. I love the energy of this band. It's super good. Let's go.
Yeah.
our sponsors, Iodine Recordings and Epic Merch Store. Thank you to Scott Hallquist from 10 Foot Pole and The Long Rod for co-producing the show and doing all the edits. If you like this episode, please share it on your social media and tag me, Punk Rock Cat, on Instagram, on Facebook. Send the episode to your punk rock friends if you think they could like the podcast. You can also give me 5 stars and some reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also give me some feedback and suggestions. My DMs are always open for you. Next week, I'm going in a cabin with other friends to celebrate our 40th birthday. It's all year long. So I'm going to take a week off and I'll be back in 2 weeks. So until I'm back, punk your life. Bye-bye.